We're going to close our song service with hymn number 473.
473, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Brothers and sisters, we have been enlisted in the army of our Lord. We can never rest. We can never be furloughed. We can never stop in the warfare of our Savior until He comes home and He establishes His kingdom. Let's stand and sing this hymn as we prepare for our evening worship.
Good evening. If you think that I look like Nathan Scheer, you're wrong. Tonight, this being on the eve of the 4th of July, and as you will notice in our programs, we're going to have a service this evening about our men and women who serve in the military or who have served in the military, about the great nation that we live in. we're honored to live in a choice land. So I'm going to be sharing with you a testimony tonight in the place of Nathan. Tony Durant was also going to share the mic with me, but called just a few moments ago, and Teresa is not feeling well at all this evening, and they will not be able to make that. So you're going to have just to put up with me tonight. I want to take you back to 1973, to the Vietnam conflict. For many of you who are young in years, you probably will not remember the Vietnam conflict. But those of us who are, I'll put more senior, older, we remember that conflict quite well. I was in the Philippine Islands at the time and had been there for about 4.5 years, stationed at Tachikawa Air Base Hospital. I received a call and said that I was to be sent to the Philippine Islands and that I was to assist in doing medical debriefings for the POWs, which would soon be released. And would I like to do that? And I said, you bet I would. So I made arrangements, and I went to Clark Air Force Base for 90 days. It was supposed to have been 30, but it ended up being 90. That was the most wonderful experience of my military career that I have ever had. The men who were released on the first release were to have been those that had been diagnosed as being the worst in treatment. So we were expecting men to be pretty sick. But when they got off the bus and they came into the hospital, much to our surprise, they were pretty good. And as the buses kept coming during the next 90 days, the men that we saw were even better and better. But what I want to share with you tonight is some of the testimonies that these men gave to me as I was doing medical debriefings on them. They were hungry for information about, will I look funny when I go back to the States because I have a buzz cut? Are the men wearing neckties that are narrow, or are they wide? What about my shoes? Will I be accepted? And I said, well, not in those, you won't, because they were still in their prison shoes, and they had been made from car tires, and they referred to the shoes as Jesus shoes, because they were about that thick, and they had just a simple leather strap over the shoe that held them on their foot. Most of them were still in their pajamas, which they had worn in the Hanoi Hilton prison. Kind of a gray, grab green color, kind of icky, really. They were clean. But as we got to talking with the men, and the first patient that I had was Colonel Reisner. Many of you may have read his book about his captivity. He was the top MiG fighter of the Vietnam conflict, and he was the most senior officer held in prison. When I first went up and talked with him, I was asking him questions about his imprisonment, and he said, Dean, I want to show you something. And I said, sure, not knowing what, you know, he was going to show me, because they wanted to show you and tell you everything. He pulled his pajama top down, and he said, look at my shoulder. And in his shoulder, he had a cut a good inch deep, just rubbed raw over his shoulder. And I said, goodness, what's that from? And he said, stand up a moment. Put your arms behind your back and touch your elbows. I tried that. Couldn't do it. Try touching your elbows sometime behind your back. Many of these men were forced to do that. Their arms were tied behind their back, elbows touching, shoulders popping out. their wrists tied, their feet were shackled. As they were interrogated and not telling what the North Vietnamese wanted to hear, they ran a rope through the feet, tied it onto their arms, over the shoulder, back down through their feet. They didn't get the answer they wanted, they pulled on the rope, which brought the arms up, the head down, and then they just worked the rope back and forth. And it was a burn cut into his shoulder. In the next 90 days, I saw several of those. And they told of beatings which they had received, pulled out of their cells, beat, brought back, and simply dumped back in their cell. No medical attention given. It was up to the other POWs to render medical help and assistance to them. They were quite an ingenious bunch of men. When they were allowed out in the courtyards, they would pick up nails. And what they would do with those nails, they would come back into their cells and they would file that nail down on the brick flooring until it was a needle. And I said, "Goodness, how long did it take you?" And they said, "You know, that wasn't important. We weren't going anyplace. Time didn't matter to us." But they used that as a needle. And then they would take thread out of the pajamas that they were wearing, and they would make various things on their pajamas. And you know, to men, a fly in your pants is very important psychologically. Whether you use it or not, it's not important. It's just that you have one. And so they would make a fly in their pajamas. They would stitch a pocket on their pajamas, but it couldn't be used as a pocket. But it made them feel like a man. Several of the prisoners made flags of the United States of America. They were beaten to a pulp because they did that. They were taken out of their cells and beaten because they made a flag. You see, that was not in keeping with what the North Vietnamese were trying to achieve. They were beat because of military information that they did not get. They were beaten because they supported the United States of America, the land that they loved. On one occasion, there was one gentleman, Mike Christensen. He made a flag on his pajamas. He was caught. He was taken out and he was beaten. Only because of that flag, they took it away, brought him back into his cell, dumped him in his cell. Eyes barely open because he was beaten so badly. The other men all at once noticed that Mike was back in over in the corner of his cell. And what was he doing? He was making another flag on his pajamas. You say, how did they get the colors? Well, the bricks were kind of a rusty orange color. And they would use water, they would use spit, and they would use urine to make that into a liquid. They would use blue out of their pajamas that they had. And the white, they would stitch around to make the outline. Two of the men brought back flags that they had made. They were crude, but they were beautiful. These men loved the United States. They never broke. They stood firm in their belief. When you talked to them, you could not help but love and admire each one of them for their dedication to the United States. Toward the end of the release, the prison was a little more lenient, and there was a choir that had been organized, and they called it the Hanoi Hilton Choir. You may have read about it in the Time magazine. They used a teacup, a broken teacup, that they had found out in the courtyard as their pitch pipe. They were allowed to give a worship service at Clark in the hospital auditorium. And a few of us were given permission to attend that service. There was one man who had been designated as their chaplain. He was not a chaplain who was captured. He was simply a man who had, they said, the most religious understanding of the scriptures. And so they had designated him as their chaplain. And he brought this worship service that morning. But before they did that, the Hanoi Hilton Choir stood to sing. And they had brought their teacup out with them. They held up their teacup. They struck their teacup as if to get their note. And they sang the Star Spangled Banner. And I'm here to tell you, there was not one dry eye in that auditorium. It was the most beautiful rendition of the Star Spangled Banner I have ever heard in my life. And I'll never forget that. The men were proud of their country. They were proud of the military service that they were a part of. They never spoke evil of their captors. They said they did what they thought was right, but we knew it was wrong. They had come to an understanding of a favorite scripture that was theirs in their imprisonment. And I would like to share with you that scripture. That's from the 40th Psalms, the first, second, and the third verse. And I think you will understand why this was their favorite scripture. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my doings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So if you see some Vietnam veterans, you know, if you don't want to go up and shake their hand, you know, just as with any military man who is serving or who has served, and you want to tell them thanks, just clench your fist and tap your heart twice. They know what it means. They love the country, and so do we. I think the mic's, there we go. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to, I think this is the fourth or the fifth series in the summer series. And as I said, tonight we are having our service to be more on the patriotic side. And I trust that, you know, you will get something out of the service this evening, that your heart will be touched as we remember the men and the women who have served and who are serving in the United States Armed Forces, as we remember the country that we live in, this choice land, this promised land. You know, I love fireworks. not necessarily the noise that they make, but I do love the beauty of fireworks. As they go off and they explode and they make that kind of a mushroom in the sky, I think that's beautiful. I love parades. When I see marching bands coming down the street, I'm an emotional person, as people from Zarahemla certainly know. And when I see a parade, it's nothing for me to choke up and start crying. I'm just that type. I love it. I love the flag waving. When we see the USA flag flying high and fluttering in the breeze, what a beautiful sight that is. I loved seeing the flags placed on the graves at Arlington Cemetery, as you saw thousands and thousands of flags flying against those little white stones. I love seeing a wreath placed on the grave of the unknown soldier, which I have seen and taken part in many times. I love seeing flags along the driveways of our cemeteries. I love this land. And I know that you do too. For you see, this is a choice land that we live in. It's a blessed land. The democracy that we have and that we enjoy did not come about by happenstance. It was prophesied, and it came to fulfillment. For those who have traveled in foreign lands, and for those who have lived in foreign lands and who have traveled extensively in foreign lands, as I have while in the military, having come back to this country, you realize what a blessed land it is. We have so much to be thankful for, to be proud of. And yet I feel that sometimes many of us take it for granted that we don't realize what we have, why we have what we have, and how it came about to be. I love the men and the women, my brothers and my sisters, who have served and who I had the privilege of serving with in the military. I've not known one of them not to stand proud, to wear the uniform proudly, and to believe in what they were doing. I just pray that we might always keep this land free, that we might enjoy the democracy that we have, that we might not take it for granted, but that we can live each day in a free country and to be proud of this land.
This is my song, O God of all the nations, a song of peace for lands afar and mine. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Oh, hear my song, thou God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for mine. This is my prayer, O Lord of all earth's kingdoms, thy kingdom come, on earth thy will be done. Let Christ be lifted up till all men serve him, and hearts united learn to live as one. Oh, hear my prayer, thou God of all the nations. Myself I give thee, let thy will be done.
I would call you to worship this night. And I would trust that each of us have come this night seeking to enter into the presence of God the Father. And I would share with you scripture taken from Ether, the first chapter, starting with the 31st verse. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatever nation shall possess it shall serve God. Or they shall be swept off with the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath will come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that possesses it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God. We will now stand and sing the Star Spangled Banner. And at the conclusion of that, we will pledge to our flag the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by invocation by High Priest Brad Galt.
Shall we bow? Almighty and eternal Heavenly Father, it is certainly with joy in our hearts that we come to Thee at this time and at this place and in this hour. Grateful for the reminder that we have just received, that Thou hast blessed this land. Thou hast touched the hearts of many that have gone on before us, who have loved this land even as much as we do, and many who have given their very life that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have, not the least of which is the freedom that we have this evening to peaceably assemble here and to worship Thee in beauty and in holiness. And so we give You thanks, our Heavenly Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy. We give You thanks that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're also grateful tonight that Thy Son also came and gave His life that we might also be free from the bondage of sin. And our Father, these blessings that have come to us in our land and through the ministry and the life and the death of Thy Son are rich and powerful and great. And we give You thanks and praise and honor and glory for that which we enjoy. And our Father, we would ask just now as we enter into this hour of worship tonight, the blessings of Thy Spirit might be in our midst again. We humbly ask and we pray for the invocation of Thy Spirit upon this assembly, that it might move in our midst, it might stir in our hearts, it might strengthen our resolve, and that it might cause to stir up within us a reason and cause to praise Thy name and to give honor and glory unto Thee. So bless us in this hour. Be with our brother Jim, who has prepared for this evening, that he might be blessed with the presence of Thy Spirit. May all that we do here tonight, may all that is said and done, bring honor and glory to Thy holy name. And may we be edified is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise.